Chapter 60.
Could Mr. Herriot see my dog, please? Familiar enough words coming from the waiting room. But it was the voice that brought me to a slithering halt just beyond the door. It couldn't be. No, of course it couldn't, but it sounded just like Helen. I tiptoed back and applied my eye without hesitation to the crack in the door. Tristan was standing there, looking down at somebody just beyond my range of vision. All I could see was a hand resting on the head of a patient sheepdog, the hem of a tweed skirt, and two silk-stockinged legs. They were nice legs, not skinny, and could easily belong to a big girl like Helen. My cogitations were cut short, as a head bent over to speak to the dog, and I had a close-up in profile of the small, straight nose and the dark hair falling across the milky smoothness of the cheek. I was still peering, bemused, when Tristan shot out of the room and collided with me. Stifling an oath, he grabbed my arm and hauled me along the passage into the dispensary. He shut the door and spoke in a hoarse whisper.
It's her! The Alderson woman! And she wants to see you! Not Siegfried, not me, but you! Mr. Herriot himself!
He looked at me wide-eyed for a few moments. Then, as I stood hesitating, he opened the door and tried to propel me into the passage.
What the hell are you waiting for?
He hissed.
Well, it's a bit embarrassing, isn't it? After that dance, I mean, last time she saw me, I was a lovely sight. So pie-eyed, I couldn't even speak.
Tristan struck his forehead with his hand.
God help us! You worry about details, don't you? She's asked to see you. What more do you want? Go on, get in there.
I was shuffling off irresolutely when he raised a hand.
Just a minute. Stay right there.
He trotted off and returned in a few seconds, holding out a white lab coat.
Just back from the laundry, he said,
and he began to work my arms into the starched sleeves.
You'll look marvellous in this, Jim. The immaculate young surgeon.
I stood unresisting as he buttoned me into the garment, but struck away his hand when he started to straighten my tie. As I left him, he gave me a final encouraging wave before heading for the back stairs. I didn't give myself any more time to think, but marched straight into the waiting room. Helen looked up and smiled. And it was just the same smile. Nothing behind it. Just the same friendly, steady-eyed smile as when I first met her. We faced each other in silence for a few moments. Then, when I didn't say anything, she looked down at the dog.
It's Dan in trouble this time, she said. He's our sheepdog, but we're so fond of him that he's become more like one of the family.
The dog wagged his tail furiously at the sound of his name, but yelped as he came towards me. I bent down and patted his head. I see he's holding up a hind leg.
Yes, he jumped over a wall this morning and he's been like that ever since. I think it's something quite bad. He can't put any weight on the leg.
Right. Bring him through to the other room, would you? And I'll have a look at him. But take him in front of me, would you? And I'll be able to watch how he walks. I held the door open and she went ahead of me with the dog. Watching how Helen walked distracted me over the first few yards. But it was a long passage, and by the time we'd reached the second bend, I had managed to drag my attention back to my patient.
And glory be, it was a dislocated hip.
It had to be with that shortening of the limb, and the way he carried it underneath his body with the paw just brushing the ground. Now my feelings were mixed. This was a major injury. But on the other hand, the chances were that I could put it right quickly and look good in the process. Because I had found in my brief experience that one of the most spectacular procedures in practice was the reduction of a dislocated hip. Maybe I'd been lucky. But with the few I'd seen, I had been able to convert an alarmingly lame animal into a completely sound one as though by magic. In the operating room, I hoisted Dan onto the table. He stood without moving as I examined the hip. There was no doubt about it at all. The head of the femur was displaced upwards and backwards, plainly palpable under my thumb. The dog looked round only once, when I made a gentle attempt to flex the limb, but turned away immediately and stared resolutely ahead. His mouth hung open a little as he panted nervously, but like a lot of the placid animals which arrived at our surgery table, he seemed to have resigned himself to his fate. I had the strong impression that I could have started to cut his head off and he wouldn't have made much fuss.
Yeah, good-natured dog, I said,
and a bonny one too. Helen patted the handsome head with the broad blaze of white down the face, The tail waved slowly from side to side.
Yes, she said.
He's just as much a family pet as a working dog.
I do hope he hasn't hurt himself too badly.
Well, he has a dislocated hip. It's a nasty thing, but with a bit of luck I ought to be able to put it back.
What happens if he won't go back?
Well, he'd have to form a false joint up there. He'd be very lame for several weeks and probably always have a slightly short leg.
Oh dear, I wouldn't like that, Ellen said.
Do you think he'll be all right?
I looked at the docile animal still gazing steadfastly to his front.
I think he's got a good chance.
Mainly because you haven't hung about for days before bringing him in. The sooner these things are tackled, the better.
Oh, good. When will you be able to start on him?
Well, right now. I went over to the door. I'll just give Tristan a shout. This is a two-man job.
Well, couldn't I help? Helen said.
I'd very much like to, if you wouldn't mind.
I looked at her doubtfully.
Well, I don't know. You mightn't like playing tug-of-war with Dan in the middle.
He'll be anaesthetized, of course, but there's usually a lot of pulling.
Helen laughed.
Oh, I'm quite strong, and not a bit squeamish. I'm used to animals, you know, and I like working with them.
Right, I said. Slip on this spare coat and we'll begin.